You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You stay connected to this team, the Cleveland Browns, for the latest news, photos, videos, and much more from this team when you go to our Facebook page, the Cleveland Browns. You follow us on Twitter, at Browns, and on Instagram, at Official Browns. Stay connected in so many ways. And this show, of course, is on clevelandbrowns.com, live stream, espncleveland.com. And joining us right now is a great friend who knows the Dallas Cowboys about as well as anybody can. He is Todd Archer from ESPN Dallas. Todd, thank you for taking a few minutes to be with us today. The reason we're calling upon you, of course, is Rich Bisaccia's name coming up, reported by Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, that the Browns interested in interviewing him or scheduled to interview him tomorrow for the head coaching job. A, do you have any more details about that? And B, what are your thoughts about him as a potential head coach for the first time in this league?
Yeah, you know, he's supposed to go up there and talk to them. It'll be his second interview here in the offseason. He also interviewed with the Washington Redskins. He was linked to the Titans job as well, but never officially interviewed with them. You know, you often look at coaches and you try and just come up with quick adjectives for them. This guy is a football coach, quite simply. I mean, he's a guy who inherited a decent group that, you know, the Cowboys had, but really made him a lot better. They improved in every statistical category this year with him as their coach. And to me, a special teams coach has to be able to work the room, because you have offensive guys, you got defensive guys, and obviously you have your specialists. You have to be a guy who has a command of everything, and he really showed a good command in his first year here with the Cowboys.
He's also been an assistant head coach with Norv Turner in San Diego, John Gruden in Tampa Bay. Does that make him someone who could more easily make that jump to a head coach?
You know, sure. It's always good to have that title. Sometimes you don't know why they were given that title or what it truly means. Was it a way to just make the guy feel better by you know, add a title and add some money to keep him around? But, again, if you're a special teams coach, you have to know the backup offensive lineman, the starting offensive lineman, the backup defensive lineman, the backup linebackers, all the guys on the secondary. You got to know everybody in the whole team. And that really gives you a good depth of knowledge of what a team is supposed to do. I know when Joe DeCamillis was here for the Cowboys and Wade Phillips was the coach, a lot of times he would give the Saturday night speeches before the games. He was also the assistant head coach, just because, A, he was a great storyteller, and B, he knew the whole room, and guys respected him. I think there's a lot of that with Bisaccia. I've had a couple of guys that have been around this team for a while say he's one of the best assistant coaches the Cowboys have had in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Todd Archer joining us from ESPN Dallas, talking about Rich Bisaccia. And you're right about that. The special teams background gives you a lot of width and breadth to deal with players. And there is that connection that I think those guys have with players that sometimes you don't see or hear with other coaches. It's still technically oriented, but a lot of motion has to drive that to get these guys to do things that you wouldn't normally ask. You don't ask players to do willingly. I mean, it's a tough business. But that said, you also have to see a big picture, and that's where John Gruden has complimented him so much. In terms of, though, the readiness to, say, run a program, when you look at certain characteristics of a guy, can you picture that? Because I think that's the feel that we all get, right, when we cover this game and we're around these guys as assistants. I do this all the time. Does that guy have that it quality? Do you see that in Rich?
You know, I do. And it's hard because, you know, it was only his first year here. We don't have access to the coaches nowadays as we used to back in the day because of media policies and things. But, you know, to me, when you think of special teams coaches, they have to work on the fly a lot of times, right? Because, you know, you might not have – you're already pulling from backups and the lower end of the roster to really make up your unit. Well, then you get injuries that happen. And what do they have to do? They got to make it work now. That third corner is now a starter. He can't play on every special teams unit. So now you're going down the roster to the other guy. So you, as a special teams coach, you have an ability to adapt and overcome – a lot of things during the course of a week, a season, a game, and that prepares you well as a head coach because you know guys are going to get hurt. You know you're not going to have everybody every week, and how you respond to those situations determines your success. And Bisaccia was a guy who had to deal with a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball and had to mix a lot of guys in there, had receivers covering punts and kicks. You really don't want to have offensive guys doing that very much because they're not used to tackling. But, you know, the Cowboys' best cover guy this year was a wide receiver. He instilled confidence in a guy who had really never tackled before to become their best coverage guy. So I have a feel he gets it. He knows, and because you got to mix and match so much on your roster, you have a good idea of even salary cap breakdowns and how things work and where you're going to have to pull snaps from guys week in and week out. I think he's got a good balance of knowing the offense. He was a running back coach, and knowing defense. He's been around some really good defensive minds with Monty Kiffin for years and Tampa and Rod Marinelli as well. So he can pull on a lot of different experiences that will help him be a head coach in the future.
You talked about him giving some of the speeches, so obviously a good orator, a guy who can work the room. One of the things we keep hearing about this Browns job and one of the things that is being stressed as being important to be able to lead this team is being, quote-unquote, a great leader of men, someone who can rally these young players on this roster and get them used to and change the culture here so that it can become a culture of winning. Does that sound like something that would be in his skill set from your exposure to him?
Yeah, you know, again, we weren't around a lot of them this year, but I would say so. And you look at his history, and, you know, he was around a winning situation in Tampa Bay, winning, I think he was there when they won the Super Bowl, but around a team that had success, around coaches that have had success, and you know, was in San Diego with Norv, obviously, for the 2 years. They didn't have great success, but, you know, you're around people that have had success in the past, so things rub off on you. Same thing here with the Cowboys. I think when you can pull on different experiences that different organizations have from an organization that has the history of a Cowboys to a team that was fighting a perception for a long time in Tampa until Dungy got there and turned him into a winner, there are things that you can draw on that I think that will help you in a situation where you're trying to build everything up like they are in Cleveland and getting guys to believe that they're not as far off as other people may seem to think. I think he definitely has that quality to him. To me, the way it was explained to me is he's Tony Sperano with a personality, and people are going to kill me for saying that or think I'm nuts and say, well, why do you want him? Sperano was a guy that he went from a bad situation in Miami into an 11-5 team in his first year. They had other situations, I think, that hurt Sperano as the time went on in Miami. But he's a Sperano type with a personality in terms of it's not always a dark day for the coach. He's a guy who can be positive when things are bad, that it's not going to suck the life out of people that he's always beating them down, that he's a guy that knows how to build people up too.
Todd Archer, ESPN Dallas, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Todd, you've been around this league and this game long enough to, I know, have broader opinions beyond that team you cover. So I want you to take with a critical eye a look at this Browns team, and I know you're familiar with at least one person here in the upper management, that being Alex Shiner, who came from the Cowboys to be president of the Browns. Your thoughts on the search for a coach, which is, it's funny how this has gone down, because I don't know if it's funny, but it's interesting that it got widely panned and criticized, and maybe that's still the case in general, but it seems to have shifted even on a national scale, where there was a lot of ridicule for the Browns not getting a guy, that it's a toxic, radioactive job, nobody wants it, and that's why they're not filling it, et cetera, to, hey, look at their patience and look how smart they've been to wait for the entire field to clear itself out, and they're the last team standing needing a coach. Do you feel that approach has been the way to go? And as you assess what's out there, you know about a lot of these guys on these other teams, that they're in position to get someone. And is this, in your mind, a desirable job?
I'll start with the last part first and say, yeah, it's a desirable job. And not just because there's only 32 of these, but you look at young talent, guys, how many Pro Bowlers do they have?
Yeah, you know, five, yeah.
Right, you got five guys. You look at Kansas City, they had five Pro Bowlers last year, I believe. And Reed comes in and turns him into a winner right away. Salary cap space, draft picks. There's a lot to like about the job. You know, the past, the recent history is not so good. But if you think about where the people in management have come from and the places that they've built in the past, been part of in the past, that has to give you hope. And you know, as far as the patience and trying to find a coach, 2007, Jerry Jones, when Bill Parcells retired, interviewed 10 guys, and we kept waiting for another guy to come in and interview, and another guy, and another guy. And like, gosh, Jerry, what are you doing? And finally, he settled on Wade Phillips. They went 13-3 their first year. They lose in the divisional round of the playoff. Was it ultimately the right decision? You know, it's easy now to say it wasn't, but I think there is something about being patient. The only problem that I have with being patient and sitting back and waiting for your guy is the assistant coaches. And it's just a big game of musical chairs, right, Vic? I mean, we've been around long enough that we'll see guys at a combine that will have a Browns gym bag and a Titans T-shirt and a Redskins sweatshirt, and they're wearing them all on the same day because it's just, you know, whenever the music stops, you got to make sure you have somebody. You'd always like to pick your staff first as opposed to last to get the guys you want. That's the only downside to being patient. But if you're not sold on the guys you've talked to yet, don't go name a coach just for the sake of naming a coach. You have to talk to everybody. And if you're waiting for Adam Gase, hey, wait for Adam Gase. You know, look what Mike McCoy did after 1 year with Peyton Manning. And look what he did in San Diego. I'd be patient if that's a guy that you think is not going to be your head coach just for 2014, but 15, 16, 17, 18, and beyond.
Todd, great stuff. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks, fellas.
Todd Archer, ESPN Dallas. Gerard Cherry coming up next on CBD.